Here we are again.
Yes, we are.
Episode 139. It is July 15th, 2019. And today we're going to talk about bad parents. How was your parenting?
Compared to some of the bad parents we're going to talk about, it's pretty stellar.
Yeah, me too. My wife and I were talking about it the other night. She's like, you know, because everybody's got their quirks and their issues and stuff. And we're like, I was like, yeah, but, you know, growing up, nobody knew that anything was weird.
Right. Just kind of
other people's houses smelled like soup. Your house was warm and comfortable, right? So what's been going on, man?
Another work and getting ready for the Scary Dad Show, of course. It's building momentum.
Yes, it's growing.
Be exciting.
I get frustrated because other people aren't moving as fast as I want them to on things. I'm trying to set up a pre-sale ticket client. They sent me documents. I turned them around and sent them back like within a couple of hours. And that's been like 5 days ago. And I'm like, okay, come on, guys. Like, process your shit so right. I can get working. So, yeah, same. Working the show, working everything, and not sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, we'll figure it out. I saw a meme yesterday that it's like interesting how adulthood is just constantly saying, well, it'll probably slow down next week, every week until you die. It never does. But it is time for an episode on this beautiful Monday morning, July 15th.
First, the old business.
Thank you, sir. On this date in 1381, John Ball, who was one of the leaders of the Peasants' Revolt, is hanged, drawn, and quartered in front of King Richard II in England. So you know how they have those protests where people go out into the parks or out into the streets and they wave their signs and they throw up their fists, and sometimes they wear masks and stuff. Yeah, they don't have any idea how good they've got it. Because these people were protesting because of high taxes and, you know, bad economic conditions and all kinds of, like, real, solid, legitimate, you know, stuff. Nope. If we're going to hang you, then we're going to quarter you.
It was to do protesters pretty quickly back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you got those protesters back in the day had a lot more balls than the ones now.
True.
You know, they
because they knew what would happen.
Passion. Yeah, they knew what was coming if they did anything. Now, nowadays, it's just, you know, protesters just want to make sure they get a quick YouTube video for hits and everything.
Yeah, the worst that's going to happen is you spend a night in jail.
Yeah, you get pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been pepper sprayed before?
Oh, let's see. On this date in 1799, the Rosetta Stone is found. So that opened up a lot of doors on translating different languages, and especially the more ancient languages. In 1834, the Spanish Inquisition is officially disbanded after 356 years.
The Inquisition.
Some evil.
It's one of my favorite parts of history of the world.
Oh yeah, nobody expected that. 1888, Mount Bandai erupts, killing 500 people in Fukushima, Japan. It's kind of after reading that, I was like, why would they decide to put a nuclear power plant there? Like, if you're on a volcano and a fault line, it's probably not safe.
No.
I mean, but what can you do, right? Actually, I don't think the tsunami was caused by an earthquake on land.
It was off in the ocean.
And it came up, but
correct.
Still. And this date in 1916, Boeing is founded in Seattle.
I saw that they're actually, because of all the controversy recently with some of their, which plane was it? It was one of the huge planes that they had some problems with. Airbus is starting to take over from Boeing as the number one provider of aircraft, which is always interesting. Yeah, that hurt them hard, man.
Yeah, well, when you have
it, deservedly so, of course. But
well, I'm never one to be sympathetic for laziness or anything like that, but I always try to. It's what's the saying? Never attribute to malice what can easily be attributed to stupidity. Mm-hmm. So like, their insurance and their quality control and their liability for civil lawsuits or whatever, if they knowingly put up a plane that's dangerous,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I think as these things go, they're discovering that there's a problem along with the regulators and everybody else. They're not like, oh, screw it, it'll fly. Like, you might think that they are, but I really seriously doubt it. You know what I mean? On this date in 1997, designer Gianni Versace is killed on the front porch of his mansion in Florida, which is bizarre. I remember that being weird.
Like, yeah.
You know me, I don't give a shit about designers, and sometimes, like, I didn't even know Versace was a person. I just thought it was like
it was a brand.
I just thought it was a brand, right? Come to find out, it's a person.
But there's a lot of stuff. Like Estee Lauder. You've heard of Estee Lauder.
Yeah, we talked about her last week.
Yeah, there's so much stuff like that.
But yeah, it was just bizarre that he got shot. You know, like, it was just a random shooting, too. Like, I was obsessed with him, but still, it's like bizarre. Remember Netscape?
Vaguely. Yes. Yes. Yes, I do.
It died on this date in 2003. In 2003, Time Warner disbands Netscape and on the same day launches Mozilla.
But think about some of the just, we're decades old, so we've seen a lot of technology changes. Think about some of the stuff that used to be so important and, you know, just groundbreaking. And where they are now. The one I always bring up, remember zip files?
Oh, yeah.
iOmega zip drive. I remember we were so excited when that came out because I was working offshore and we used to have to, was it the 3 1/4 inch? Were those little hard floppy disks? To back up our stuff, we'd have to, it would end up being like 5 of those to back up a file. And then they came out with the zip drives where it was just one and done. And look at us now.
I know.
I remember the first jump drive that I ever bought. It was 4 gigabytes, and it was like this big with a little fold-out USB. And look at the sticks we got now,
dude. You know, just like the photo cards, like even the digital cameras that take those are even more or less obsolete now, unless you're doing high-end like photography type stuff. But God, I remember like Meg bought a camera and it had like a 2 gig thing.
Uh-huh.
The little
card, SD card.
And it got full and I was lazy and I didn't want to have to deal with it, so I just went to go buy another one, and the next one was 64 gigs. And I'm like, it's not any bigger or thicker.
Right.
It fits in the same slot. Like, but yeah, 32 times the data on it. I'm like, hey, this is real cool. I never have to unload this thing and just stick it in there and take pictures all day. And then I don't even know. That was like probably 5 years ago.
Right. You can imagine now.
Yeah, I have no idea what an SD card will hold now. And on this date in 2006, the death of basic humanity, Twitter was launched. I hate Twitter, dude.
Me too. But I just, it was weird as I see. I enjoy reading comments on weird Facebook videos and just, especially the political stuff. It just, it's so just sad.
It's yeah.
People put way too much passion behind some of this stuff, and it's depressing sometimes.
Well, people, the thing that I find too is you read comments, and of course, everything's polarized down to where if you are not like, if you are not this, then you are that. If you're vaguely sympathetic to, you know, lower taxes, then you're a fascist. And it's like, wait, what? How does that even work, right? Like, and we were having a conversation. we were going to dinner the night before last, and so the kids were in the car. I'm talking to my wife, and she said something. My daughter says that she wishes that there was restaurants that you could go to that didn't have checks, that you didn't have to pay for the food. And my wife jokingly said, you know, what are you, some sort of communist? And so Julia was like, what is a communist? And so, you know, 8 years old, you're not going to try to explain the history of Bolshevism to, you know, to an 8 year old. But it's like, you know, the government controls every aspect of your life, you know, what you eat, what you, and I saw her little mind wheels turning. And I was like, actually, you kind of live in a, you kind of live in a communist dictatorship as it is. So then Meg was like, well, that's not true. She works for money. She has opportunity. She can make choices. And I was like, oh, see, that's the other end of the spectrum. Because a fascist government, the definition of it is it's tyrannical, like, whatever. But, like, gas chambers, that's something a fascist government did. But a fascist government is the government controls the industry, but the industry is still privately owned. So an example of it is like Volkswagen. Volkswagen had an ownership structure. The government just came in and told them what to build and what to price it at. And then split the monies with them. So that's the opposite end of the communist spectrum. I'm like, so actually she lives kind of in a fascist world. I'm like, actually we all kind of do, because the government controls industry.
Yeah, the regulations.
So I guess everything, but that's either the right side or the left side. It's all the same. Oh, well, on to other things. Let's order some pizza, right? It's interesting how the conversations roll in that direction.
Yeah.
I never heard that word very much growing up.
No, but now it's everywhere. It's funny how that happens. You know, people pick up on a meme or a comment and they just run with it and run it into the ground.
I remember whenever I was a kid and I'd draw little space battles on my notepad. The bad guys always had swastikas on their on their airplanes. I can't even, like, pages and pages of airplanes and tanks with swastikas on them getting blown up and stuff. I bet if you drew one in school now,
you'd be in trouble. It'd be an intervention.
All right, and this date in 1606, sorry, Rembrandt was born. He's a short guy. They have a life-size statue of him in Amsterdam.
Speaking of short guys, I'm sure you've seen the bagel cafe guy. Okay, now, I don't know if you saw this also, but there's a 9-minute interview with him from one of the news stations. It is gold. You have got to try to find it and check it out. The guy gets to a point where he starts saying that he's starting a movement, and he's going to be the Martin Luther King Jr. of bullying. But he's got some issues, dude. This guy, talk about Napoleon complex. It's rampant with him.
What pissed him off to begin with? Like,
what happened is, I saw the 9-minute interview. So no. What happened is, he was ordering his bagel, and he goes there often. And the person behind the counter was a new person, and he says that. It's a 9-minute interview with this guy. He starts talking about how I couldn't get to understand what egg whites were and why I wanted an egg white sandwich. And then when I finally got to understand, she covered her mouth and kind of snickered. And he assumed she was laughing at his stature. And that's what made him go nuts. But there's videos of him at 7-Elevens. There's videos of him at all these places throwing fits the exact same way. The dude has some issues,
that's
man.
Awesome.
When that big dude tackles him, he just... And he shows his... In the interview, he shows where he got wounded during that attack. And I can't remember his damn name, but they got his name and everything out now.
You better be careful. We're sitting over here laughing at him. Come over here and throw a fit.
He's living in it. He apparently had a bad relationship. He lost his house. He's living out of his van. Just all this shit, dude. The guy is just a miserable motherfucker.
Poor guy. He's got his 15 minutes going on right now.
Yeah.
All right. 1796. Thomas Bulfinch. See Bulfinch's mythology, like on the shelf at every bookstore. He wrote it.
Okay.
1931, Clive Cussler writes all of those deep sea adventure books.
See those books all over Goodwill.
Yep. All the time. 1945, Jan Michael Vincent, Airwolf. Yep. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
Man, there was something about militarized helicopters in like, because there was Blue Thunder,
uh-huh.
Airwolf. Wasn't there another one? No, that was the jet with Clint Eastwood.
That was Firefox.
Firefox.
Yeah. But there was the SR-71 Blackbird.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Yeah, the Apache helicopters were...
Big deal.
Yeah. I remember when I worked on the cruise ship, we used to go to St. Louis every year for the 4th of July, and they have a big air show and all kind of other shit. And we're going down the river. It wasn't in an incorporated area. It was all woods and everything along the river. And I was standing outside on the front deck with a friend of mine having a cigarette, and all of a sudden we hear... And from behind the tree line, these Apache helicopters just came up facing us and then just kind of followed the ship around.
Oh, wow.
Dude, it was so cool, man. It was awesome. Those helicopters are badass.
I love the Gatling guns on the front of those, uh-huh. You know, like, those Spitfire machine guns are badass.
Yes.
Like, just... Did you see? Did I send you the Rambo machine gun thing?
No.
Somebody printed out a picture of Rambo with his M60 and taped it to a fan.
Oh, I have seen that video.
And the
fan's
spinning. It's all.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was fun.
Oh, let's see. In 1952, Terry O'Quinn. He was in Lost, and he was in the Stepfather movies.
Speaking of bad parents.
Yeah. 1956, Ian Curtis was born. Ian Curtis was the singer for Joy Division, which later turned into New Order after Ian Curtis killed himself. Strange, because New Order's, like, Joy Division's so bleak, it's so dark, and Joy Division, or New Order, was so, like, poppy,
yeah,
and clean and bright. It's like, it's like interesting. Interesting dynamics there. 1961, Forrest Whitaker.
Love him.
Yeah, he's
great, a great director and actor.
He's good. Really good. He's in a lot of stuff too.
Yeah, he's behind the camera also. I mean, Forrest Whitaker's I like a lot of his movies. My favorite being, I don't know if you ever saw Rage in Harlem, but Rage in Harlem. Mm-hmm. It's not Harlem Nights, but Rage in Harlem. It's with Gregory Hines, Forrest Whitaker, a few other folks. It's a great movie.
Right on. Really, really good. I'll have to check it out. And in 1967, Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
Yes.
Did you see the Iron Man suit that he made?
No.
He made a flying titanium bulletproof Iron Man suit.
Oh, wow.
He printed it. He 3D printed it out of powdered titanium. And so he's got the mask and the chest plate and everything. And he wanted it to be bulletproof. So they set it up at 20 feet with a 22, a 9mm, and a 45 at 20 feet. And none of the bullets even scratched it.
Oh, wow.
So it's like fully bulletproof. And then you've seen the guy who has the Iron Man repulsors.
Yeah.
On his jetpack, on his feet and his hands. Uh-huh. So he can fly. He gets probably like 20 feet high and fly around. They put all of that into the suit and then put it on that guy, and he flew. So like they're out in like in an office park, like store, like warehouse, uh-huh. park, and they've got this platform that's probably like 4 feet tall, and so he's outside, puts on all the gear, fires up, flies, hovers around a little bit, and then flies over and lands on the platform. And
that's pretty wicked, man.
It is pretty neat. He's complaining because you know how, like, when you see Iron Man, his shins bow out like that, uh-huh. like they're curved strangely. He's like, yeah, legs don't bend like that. This is uncomfortable because they're trying to make it screen accurate.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, you need to fix those feet. All right, man, notable deaths this date in 2017. We lost Martin Landau. Many, many movies. Probably most notably, he was in Ed Wood as Bela Lugosi.
Okay. And while we're on the subject of deaths, of course, we can talk about the recent loss of Mr. Rip Torn.
Yes.
Which, mostly known for Men in Black. I very, very fondly remember him from Beastmaster.
Yes.
So, so Rip Torn's been around with us for a while. He started acting in 1972, and he will be sadly missed.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, yeah. He's another one of those that he's been around for a long time. He's a character actor, so you don't think about him much, but he was always good in everything
he did. Yeah.
You know.
Dodgeball, he was awesome in that.
That was hilarious. I was going to say, that's the one that you mentioned, Men in Black. It took me a second to place him whenever they're like, oh, from Men in Black. It took me a second in my mind, like, who is he again? I remembered him as Patches O'Houlihan.
Yeah.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Well, like, what kind of advice is that?
Is it necessary that I got to drink my urine every morning? Necessary.
He flings that wrench and hits that dude in the face. Oh, so good. All right, and that's it. We're in the old business. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Every year of a gift certificate that turns into a soft drink, it can happen this Halloween. When you give out McDonald's Halloween gift certificates, kids take them to McDonald's and they get a McDonald's soft drink. A book of 20 Halloween gift certificates costs only a dollar. And can turn into 20 regular soft drinks. It must be the magic of Halloween.
Nobody can do what McDonald's can.
Nobody.
Make Halloween fun with one-stop shopping at Woolworth or Woolco for your Halloween needs. Costumes from $1.83 to $3.99, like $6 Million Man, Bionic Woman, Superheroes, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, and a new favorite for girls, Holly Hobby. You can get wrapped candies of every kind, bubblegum, lollipops, fun-size candy bars. Get this Halloween record, sounds to make you shiver, just $1.89. Make Halloween fun and easy. Make just one stop at Woolworth or Woolco.
All right,
let's get right into it.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
A recent post, which I found interesting, I thought we could discuss real quick, was Stephen King decided to go ahead and list his 22, what he considers the 22 scariest horror movies of all time, which I thought was pretty cool.
Are any of those on the list?
One, actually. There's a few movies on here that we talk about quite often. So I just wanted to go over that real quick and see what you think. Now, this list is in alphabetical order, not necessarily order of the best. So come up. At the top is 2016's The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which I have not seen yet. Next is 1999's The Blair Witch Project. Then we got 1980's The Changeling, 2015's Crimson Peak, 2004's Dawn of the Dead by Zack Snyder. He
That's a good one.
This is one that I found surprising was on here. I'm like, really? 1999's Deep Blue Sea.
That's not scary.
I know. I don't know why that one is on there, but 2005's The Descent. 1971's Duel by Steven Spielberg, which I'm not familiar with that one. 1955, Les Diaboliques. I'm sure you've never heard of that one. I've heard of it, but 2000's Final Destination.
Final Destination was fun and cool, but I didn't find it really scary.
It wasn't really scary. It was predictable more than anything. Well,
you knew if somebody was in a scene, they were probably going to go dead. How is it that they're going to go?
This is a cool one that I like that he has on here. 1997's Event Horizon.
Yep.
And it followed up with another one that I like, but what's weird is he kind of lists both of them, but one was a remake, but 1986 and 2007's The Hitcher, which is a great movie. Mm-hmm. I enjoy The Hitcher a lot. 2009's Last House on the Left. Here's one that I'm not surprised it's here, just because we talk about how just hard of an ending this one is compared to the book, but The Mist. 2007's mm-hmm. The Mist. 1957's Night of the Demon. 2008's The Ruins, which I enjoy that one a lot. That's a pretty good one. 1977's The Sorcerer. And 1986 Stepfather. Speaking of...
Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah. 1999 Stir of Echoes. This movie I agree with 100%, because I've always said this is one of the scarier recent horror movies that I actually had trouble sleeping after. This one was 2008's The Strangers. That movie is just...
Yeah, I don't like that one.
I had trouble sleeping after that one. That one, because that shit could really happen, like I always say. 1960's Village of the Damned and 2015's The Witch.
Did you like The Witch?
I don't remember it, to be honest with you.
I found it... I mean, it's controversial, because everybody, you know, but I found it to be pretty boring, actually. Uh-huh. I didn't find it to be... I didn't dislike it, but it certainly did not live up to the hype, I guess is the best way to say it. Like, yeah. Everybody's like, this is the greatest movie ever. Like, okay, cool. All right.
Okay. But what's interesting is the one movie of his that's on there is one that steered away from the book.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the ending just to make it a really, really rough ending. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with why he considers it scary. Just to, but that's the only movie of his that's on there.
Interesting. Yeah, that's Frank Darabont. Same guy that made The Walking Dead for the first season.
Yeah. Okay. See, the Tiggy Winkles Wildlife Hospital in the UK got a phone call from somebody saying, "Hey, I just found this injured exotic bird. It's all orange. Something's wrong with it. I need to bring it by." So they got all excited. They're like, "Okay, somebody's bringing in an exotic bird that must have escaped from somewhere. We're going to bring it over to treat it." It ended up being a seagull, common seagull that was covered in curry. That's a picture of the bird that they brought in. But yeah, these people thought that it was like this exotic bird they had never seen before. It ended up just being, and they say it was very pungent. When they walked in, you could smell the curry coming off of the seagull. But I thought that story was hilarious.
Have you seen the video of the whale using a fish to catch a bird?
No.
It's like at SeaWorld or something. And there's this killer whale, so these seagulls are flopping around, like picking up bits. And the killer whale swims up and spits out a fish. And when the seagull lands to get the fish, the whale grabs the bird and takes him down.
Jesus.
It's badass.
Okay, and I'm sure there's no way you could possibly have missed the memes regarding this next story, which are everywhere. But on September 20th, there is a planned takeover of Area 51.
Yes.
It has blown up. The thing about it is, I found this story last week and been having it just queued up to talk about, but all of a sudden yesterday, it just blew up. I don't know if you noticed that, but just in one day, there's like a million memes popped up on Facebook about this event that's coming up.
Yeah, Joe Rogan posted a thing, man. I feel at least partially responsible for this, because I think he was just talking about it. He's like,
We ought to storm Area 51.
Yeah, I didn't hear him talking about it, but I know apparently he was, and everybody just kind of just rolled.
Right.
I don't listen to Rogan all the time. I listen to him whenever he has interest, you know, people that I know, like interesting guests. Like he had Billy Corgan on, he had David Lee Roth, you know, stuff like that. But I follow him on Instagram because he's got all kinds of really cool pictures, and you know, he goes hunting all the time, and he's, you know, he had a picture of himself in a in his studio. This was probably about 6 months ago. Had a picture of himself, you know, all bowed up, you know, like looking strong, and he's got a fanny pack on. And he's like, "Gonna go out here and kill the day." He's like, "And yes, that is a fanny pack." And he's like, "And I don't care because they're freaking useful." If more people worried more about taking care of their business than they worried about what other people thought, the world would be a better place. And like, didn't really think about it again, but I started seeing fanny packs popping up.
Fanny packs are awesome, dude.
Being out in the world, like seeing some like hipster kids with fanny packs on, and I'm like Arctic, the drinkware people, they started selling what they call the side satchel, which is essentially like it's basically a overbuilt fanny pack for like keeping medication and stuff when you're camping, but it's got a little belt pass through so you can
Okay, but at the time of this article, there were 165,000 people that have indicated they were going to join the takeover, and over 200,000 users saying that they were interested. So we shall keep up with this to see how it plays out, but you can find it everywhere. Just open up Facebook and you'll see something about the Area 51 takeover by the masses.
You know what's going to be so stupid about that?
Right.
First of all, Area 51 is in the desert. It's very hot, right? Very dry. And the facilities for Area 51 are quite far from the fences. So the storm, they're going to have to run like a mile through the desert.
Water stations halfway.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not storming a castle. you know.
But some of the memes have been pretty funny, so go ahead, check it out, and we'll be keeping up with that. All right, let's go on down to Florida, which is always fun. Florida thief was caught on camera trying to break into an ATM. And this dude was ready. He'd seen a few movies, apparently. He showed up with a torch to go ahead. And what ended up happening is, instead of cutting through the hinges, he just melted it all into one big glob of metal that can never be opened again. In Okaloosa Island, Florida, the two burglars haven't been caught yet. But yeah, they ended up just welding the entire thing shut forever.
You're doing it wrong, man. Shut up, I know what I'm doing.
Okay, and finally, I got a few more, but there's a Colombian city where a bishop has a plan. He crime has gotten so bad, and just the unlawfulness and everything else. He is planning to exorcise the entire city by helicopter. He is going to be loading up a thing of holy water to sprinkle along the whole city to try to purge the area of demonic infestation. The city is currently beset by violence, drug smuggling, and poverty. There was a 10-year-old girl that was found. She had been tortured and murdered, and that's when he decided to go ahead and get the devil out of town.
Nice.
So yeah, now we have mass exorcisms of cities, which thanks to technology with helicopters, we we can perform those. I know you saw this one. The Final Destination come to life, of course, in Bournemouth, England, when a British woman was killed with an eco-friendly metal drinking straw, impaled her through her eye, and she fell in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, dude.
Well, I've been sketchy of those things since I've seen
them. Amy wanted to get one, and I said, no, that's too dangerous. Why would you want a metal straw that, you know, a regular plastic straw can cut you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go ahead, think about what a metal straw is going to do, man.
Well, too, I mean, I joke, but I'm also serious. Like, with the advent of kind of like the double insulated tumblers, you know, then, you know, but you have the straw.
Uh-huh.
That shit's unsanitary. Like, you're not going to be able to put that thing in the dishwasher and have it get all.
Yeah, you got to get a pipe cleaner in there to try to get everything out.
But certain things, like every now and then, it's like when people will wear a pen in their pocket. Well, I'll do that. I'll stick it in my shirt, you know, like through the buttonholes or whatever, and then I'll be driving, and then my seat will be leaning against this pen. And it'll occur to me that if I were to get into a wreck,
the pin's
going to go up into my jaw or into my chest. You know, like take this out and put it in its bag. But driving around with a metal tube sticking, like, what? Whenever you really break it down, what actually is a gun, right? It's a metal tube through which another piece of metal pushes through. So imagine you're driving around 30 miles an hour with one of those straws in your mouth, and somebody cuts you short. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that. Those are the images that fly through my mind, say Final Destination style.
Right.
I'm like, nope.
With this lady, 60-year-old Elena Struthers Gardner, who is a retired jockey, she was carrying a drink with a screw-on lid and metal straw in it when she collapsed, causing the 10-inch stainless straw to pierce her left eyelid and her brain. And she was she died 2 days later at a local hospital. We're just hearing about it, even though the accident occurred in November 2018, but just the coroner's office recently released the details of the death. They investigated the death to make sure that it wasn't a murder, because she had a roommate. Her roommate actually found her dead in the kitchen. But yeah, it's crazy.
The descriptions that she found her making weird gurgling sounds.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. Now we're going to get to the reason why we chose the topic that we chose today, is shitty parenting. I don't know if you heard about the 22-year-old man in Ontario, Canada, that was charged on suspicion of failing to properly secure a toddler by using a case of beer as a booster seat. It is at 2:30 in the morning on a Tuesday. A cop pulled him over around North Perth in Ontario. The officer noticed a toddler who was 2 years old was sitting on a 30-can case of beer in the passenger seat. Authorities believe the driver used the case of beer as a substitute for a booster seat. you ever thought about using any, even phone books? You know, it's he was charged with failure to ensure a toddler was popular and secure. But when he's out with a 2-year-old at 2:30 in the morning,
right? Father of the year, right there,
sitting on a case of beer with a seatbelt. And in Chicago, Dixon mom was arrested after she was found driving while her kid sat inside an inflatable pool on top of her car. What happened is, it was an Audi Q5. The driver, 49-year-old Jennifer Jonas, had an inflatable pool for the kid. So she brought it somewhere to go ahead and get it filled up. And once she got the air in it, she had to drive back home. So she used her two kids to ride inside of the pool to hold it down for the ride home. She was arrested and charged with two counts of endangering the health or life of a child and two counts of reckless conduct. The children were aged 8 and 16.
Nice.
Riding on the top of her SUV, sitting in a swimming pool to hold it down.
You can survive a plane crash in a swimming pool. Inflatable raft like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. But that's what I got.
Rock and roll. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Foolish friends, Freddy Krueger is on your phone. Dial this number now. I've got some tales to tell. Freddy's favorite bedtime stories. Deadtime stories. All brand new. Straight from my boiler room to your home. It's Freddy Krueger on your phone. So dial this number now if you dare. Tell him Freddy sent you.
$2 the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. Children, get your parents' permission before you dial.
All right. Let's talk about some...
Getting some bad parenting.
Yeah.
Evidence
that parenting right there.
Okay. Let's start off with... you see people under the stairs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's interesting is the parents, there's no name ever announced for them. But you want to talk about a shitty pair of parents who aren't even actually parents. They're a brother and sister who decide to go ahead and kidnap a little girl and raise her as their own. They keep the poor girl locked up in a room. And her only friend is a guy who had his tongue ripped out that runs through the walls and everything that her dad is trying to kill. Those were shitty parents.
Not good.
No, not at all. Not at all. Going down the list, of course, the matriarch of the Firefly clan, Mama Firefly.
Yeah.
She's a pretty shitty parent.
Yeah, she didn't...
No discipline among those kids.
She didn't raise them right.
No.
Like... Don't kidnap cheerleaders and keep dead ones in your bed.
Yeah.
That's probably rule one.
Have your kids clean their room and go check it out every once in a while to see what's laying around.
Yeah, like if you have to tell your kids, like, if you haven't told your kids that, it's not a good thing.
Right. Moving forward, of course, you've probably never seen this, but there's a movie by Trauma Films called Mother's Day, which is about mom, the mother, who she has two sons that she pretty much allows them to run rampant too and assist them in kidnapping women and killing them.
Fun.
All with mom's approval. She loves her boys very, very much. She's also a very sadistic, sick woman. And the movie starts off with her actually finding two hitchhikers on the side of the road. Sweet old lady, they jump in her car to go ahead and get some help. And of course, they're next brutally murdered by her two crazy ass sons.
Nice.
Which for a trauma movie, actually, it holds a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is impressive for a trauma movie. Those trauma movies don't make it to 50, so this one's pushing kind of close to it. Okay, next. Amityville Horror.
Yeah, Lutz was not a very good dad.
No, he was very much a shitty person. And then I had to remember, you know, in part two, they had a shitty dad in that one too, but he wasn't the worst. The son was actually the one that got possessed in part two, but... I don't even remember part two was what's his name from Rocky? Paulie.
Yeah.
Paulie for Rocky played the dad in part two, and he was a really shitty dad himself. Vicious with the kids. It was nice to see him die in part two. But yeah, George Lutz, he murdered his family. Granted, he was possessed, but
still.
It's not very good parenting skills. While his intentions were great, old Lewis Creed from Pet Sematary I'd question his parenting techniques as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially when the cat comes back bad.
Uh-huh.
Like, it wasn't as if that you had the cat, you put the cat in the pet cemetery, a cat comes back, and it's up, like, rolling up against your legs, purring, and there's no damage.
Mm-hmm.
The cat comes back screwed up. But he comes back.
Yeah.
So then Lewis just loses it and puts everybody in there.
He just keeps trying to waiting to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And never actually does. But yeah, and also, I mean, his kid got hit by 18-wheeler because he wasn't paying attention to his son. And
yep.
Yeah, he's a pretty much shitty dad. Going along the lines of shitty dads, we could talk about Jack Torrance from The Shining.
Yeah, he was even worse in the book.
Yeah.
He is pretty abusive. The movie Jack was not as bad as the book Jack.
Yep. Jerry Blake from The Stepfather, which was another really, really bad parent. Butchered the entire family. So he's another one. And it just went on to move on to the next. This is an interesting one that I found on this list, but the other mother in Coraline.
Yes. Dude, she was awesome, though.
Super sweet and fun and will make you all sorts of delicious food until she gets bored with you and sews you buttons for eyes and eats your soul.
Yes.
She's a quote from the movie, "Sharper than a serpent's tooth is a daughter's ingratitude. Still the proudest spirit can be broken with love."
Yep.
And it's fairly sadistic. Now, I don't watch Walking Dead, unfortunately, but Laurie Grimes from The Walking Dead is on this list as well. I don't know if you can give a little feedback on that one, but...
Well, they thought Rick was dead, so she had that affair with Shane. And then... But it wasn't so much that she was a bad mom. It's that it was like almost like she was in denial of the survival situation that they were in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just as an example, you know, Carl is, like, 10 or 11 years old. They're surrounded by zombies. They've seen everybody that they know get killed. And Rick's like, "Here, I'm going to give this kid a gun so he can defend himself." And she's like, "I'm not comfortable with that." And it's like, dude,
do you know what's going on?
You understand what's going on. Little son, like, "Carl, get in the house." But he's never in the house. He's, like, never in the house.
Right.
He's always off wandering around. So she had quite a bit of dereliction of duty that caused her to... She's not a very good parent.
Okay. Now, this next parent, we never actually get to know her, but from the actions of her son, she's obviously a pretty shitty parent. But Mrs. Bates, Norman mm-hmm. Bates' mother from Psycho, she fucked him up bad.
Yeah, she did. He loved her, though, man.
Yeah, he loved his mama. He wanted to please her and everything, but the conditioning that she...
You know who is a good mom?
Who?
Jaws 3.
Yes.
Because her little baby got into SeaWorld and got himself killed, got himself caught, got himself dead, and she went on a rampage. She got lots of folks. So that was actually good parenting.
Okay.
She ended up getting herself blown up, but still.
But still. Now, the top of the list, of course, is probably the most well-known horror movie parent out of all of them, but Pamela Sue Voorhees.
You know, you gotta wonder what her parenting was like, though, because, you know, he did die when he was 10 or yep. whatever, and she exacted her revenge, so she sure did love her baby. Oh, man. Let's see, what are some other good I had one right on the tip of my tongue and I lost it.
Oh, damn. Okay. I remember we were talking about one earlier. I'm trying to remember which one you had brought up earlier.
Well, it wasn't in Well, then there's good old Mrs. Kintner from Jaws.
Yes, yeah.
She let Alex go back out just one more time, even though he was pruny.
And the worst thing happened.
He got turned into shark poop. So,
yeah, there were a few bad parents in that movie that, you know, decided to listen to the city elders instead of their own instincts and let the kids run amok.
Then you got Mr. Peltzer from Gremlins,
who decided to go ahead and give his son a unique gift.
Yeah.
Not realizing the consequences. The old man told him not to buy it.
Yep.
You know?
The kid told him, gave him the warnings.
Yeah.
We watched that movie last night, and I hadn't seen it. Well, I mean, I pretty much watch it every Christmas or whatever, but I hadn't seen it in a while, and it was just something casual that could be on. We didn't have to really pay attention. I'm always just... I cannot still... Meg's like, you keep saying the word eight. I'm like, I can't believe I saw that shit in the theater. Like, there are some scenes in that movie that are just pure nightmare fuel.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, when they're like, killing people and just sitting there like... and just laughing about it. It's so great, but it's at the same time, it's just, like, so... bad for children.
Yeah, I was right there. Well, I remember I had a dog when I was like 9 or 10 that was named Gizmo.
It was but yeah, those the ears, you know, and just like the shadows and stuff whenever they're behind, like behind the movie screen.
Yeah.
And they go, dude, good stuff. It wasn't really horror, but the lady who played Mama Fratelli in The Goonies is probably one of the scariest villains.
Yeah.
She was a bad mom.
She was an enabler, I think is what they call that.
She also chained up Sloth. And
Yeah, it treated him like shit.
I only dropped you once or maybe twice.
That you break your sons out of prison when they should be learning their lesson. You're teaching them not to take responsibility for their actions.
Mm-hmm. Put a freezer full of the stiff.
You know, on that same vein, it's fairly horror, but Mrs. Dietz from Beetlejuice.
True.
She was a shitty...
She was a shitty mom.
Yes.
She's narcissistic.
Her priorities were wrong. All
she did was care about Otho. His different shades of purple. Darth Vader was not a good dad.
No, he wasn't there. No. Showed up late and
he like blew up planets and shit.
Yeah, he was not a good role model at all.
He was dedicated to his job all the time. Was it old Bill Paxton? And he's killing the demons.
Uh-huh.
He's making his kids kill the demons. Frailty.
Yeah. Yes.
It turned out though. In the end, that he was actually a good dad. He was actually destroying demons. But, you know.
It took a while to get to that, the conclusion.
You wouldn't have known it from him just running around, like, sticking his axe into people's skulls. But he was actually doing the world a favor. The mother alien from Aliens.
Yeah.
She's a pretty good mom, but she was mean.
Oh, yeah, she was very mean. Kids were undisciplined. Just running amok, as I said.
Get away from her, you bitch. Oh, let's see here. That guy in Creepshow. I want my cake.
Yes, yeah. His daughter killed him, but he kind of drove her to that. You know, she didn't have much of a choice because he was just a grumpy, bitchy old man thinking all the kids were worried about was his money.
But then he dripped off her head and turned her into a cake. That's like when I'm hanging out with my daughters, even when they're bad, that's a little extreme.
When was the last time you watched that Creepshow?
Oh, I got it on VHS maybe about a year ago.
Okay.
And it's like a real high quality, you know, like it was like unused copy.
Uh-huh.
So I watched that.
My favorite part of that particular story in it is when they're dancing the disco music in the living room.
Yeah.
Because it's what's her name from Poltergeist? JoBeth Williams. Mm-hmm. And just the dance she's doing is so funny. It's just so random to have that scene in there.
Well, it's not a very big room. Yeah. This is just what people did back then.
They just start dancing.
Like thunderstorms are in like this big gothic house. It was bizarre. My thoughts were in that segment, whenever he falls down and the gravestones keeps like edging towards falling on him, and every time he moves, it moves a little bit more. And it's like, oh, there's no getting out of that. He's gonna get mushed. Hey, babe. Hi. So, yeah, getting turned into cake. It's probably the worst of what could happen in that bunch. Nicole Kidman and the others. She was in denial about the fact that she thought the children had a disease that they didn't have.
Right.
She thought they were photosensitive and they weren't. She'd run around always closing curtains and stuff.
She's just a cautious mom.
She was. But yeah, but the whole reason how they got there is because she was a bad mom.
Right.
Her headaches. Yeah. You said that Mrs. Voorhees was probably the worst, the top of the line. I would have to disagree.
Okay.
Well, he's not technically a father. Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
He created life. It's what parents do.
And then he totally, turned on it.
Yeah.
Like, he was a bad dad. And by being a bad dad, he spawned the horror genre and the science fiction genre. Like, he was that shitty of a dad that all of these other movies exist because of him.
The first zombie.
Being a bad dad. So yeah, I think Frank also, the whole he created a monster and didn't give him a name. Have you seen that
Frankenstein's monster?
Have you seen that meme? No, it's like where somebody went in and penciled in at the very end, because at the end of Frankenstein, the monster floats away on an iceberg. Uh-huh. And somebody went in and penciled in at the end of the book, and it's like, in a final goodbye, Victor calls out to the monster, "It's okay if people call you Frankenstein."
So many people get that mixed up. They think Frankenstein is the monster, but the monster is actually Frankenstein's monster.
Yep. But I still call him Frank.
Yeah.
You know? whenever you're like, who is that? That's Frankenstein. You know? whatever. Frankenstein. But yeah, he's the king. The king of the bad dads. Mr. Frankenstein there.
Well, we have the king of the bad dads and then the queen of the bad moms.
Yes. So. Well, that was kind of a rapid fire list, but what else you got? We got next week, we actually have a pretty special episode. I went out to Fun Stuff Comics and hung out and talked horror with Randy for a while. So that'll be a kind of a guest spot. We're almost halfway through the summer already as far as the
time is flying by this year. That's for sure.
You saw those big ass pumpkins I got?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll be making bodies for them.
Oh, cool.
They're going to be at the Halloween show. So I got these 3 foot tall light up pumpkins, and I'm going to paint them and kind of distress them a little bit. Uh-huh. And put them on a body. They're going to have some really nice gnarly limbs and stuff. And there'll be decorations at the Halloween show.
Cool.
And yeah, as more stuff occurs, we will cut in and let you know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, until next time, let's keep it scary.
Later.
Times have changed and times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home.